Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences we've gained from movies, games, and pop culture. I'm Ryan, your host for this episode. And if you forgot, it's December, and that means we are covering action movies and only action movies this month. This week, I think in the spirit of action movie December, I had a lot of ideas, but I wanted to do something that felt like very Van Damme adjacent. And for me, that person has always been Jackie Chan. So this week we are talking about the action movie classic, Police Story. Joining me, as always, are my lovely co-hosts, and we usually do a fun little back and forth where I reference something from the movie, but instead, I'm going to do some Jackie Chan trivia with everybody tonight. So, first up, Kyle, buddy, how are you doing?
Good. I wanted to come on as a Police Story, and I thought you were going to intro that, and I was just going to say, all cops are bastards.
Even Jackie Chan?
We'll get into
his police work.
All right.
We certainly will.
Oh, yes. Kyle, back to this trivia. In which movie does Jackie Chan break his ankle, which is seen in the outtakes, and then use a large sneaker to disguise his cast for a majority of the scenes in the rest of the movie?
I have 99.9%. That's Rumble in the Bronx when he jumps onto the boat.
That's it. I had multiple choice ready as a just in case.
Wow.
You didn't even need it. Well done, sir.
Damn.
Very nice.
Let's go, baby.
Very nice.
I like Jackie Chan, too.
I'm so heartened to hear it. All right. Next up is Sean. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Your husband's beating who? Being you? Husband's beating you?
Why do you keep referencing my husband, Sean?
Jackie Chan impression.
He did it.
Kind of.
No, he did it. He did it. No, that's not kind of. He did it. That's all points go to Sean.
All points. Hey, you guys should check out our Patreon to see Ryan's impression.
Yeah, and see why I just did that.
Now it seems like I'm the instigator.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way real fucking quick.
That's how a real mastermind plans.
Smart. Sean, I've got a question for you as well.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan has co-starred with many famous American actors like Chris Tucker and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Of the following co-stars, who hasn't Chan actually been with?
What is my name?
Biblically?
A, Lucy Liu. B, Jason Statham. C, Billy Ray Cyrus. Or D, Joshua Jackson. So of those four, who has not been in a Jackie Chan movie?
Fuck.
Okay, so Billy Ray Cyrus is absolutely in there because that is too fucking stupid to not be a thing.
You are correct. He was in The Spy Next Door.
I know Jason Statham because I'm sure they were both in The Expendables or something. I don't even know the last person, but I'm pretty sure as soon as you said Lucy Liu, I'm like, there's no way those two have chomp scene together.
All right. So Lucy Liu was actually, and I should have written this down, but she was in a movie with Jackie Chan. Shanghai Noon. They were in together. Joshua Jackson was in the most recent Karate Kid movie with Jackie Chan. And Jason Statham has never been in a Jackie Chan movie.
Nope.
Jackie Chan was not in The Expendables. It was Jet Li. Yeah.
That's right.
And then same with Jet Li and Statham in The One.
Was that, was that your way of like slotting that Jet Li thing in there? Are you implying that I can't tell the difference?
Because check the tapes.
Ryan. No. Rewind,
the first person to say Jet Li was Kyle.
Kyle? The tapes.
I said you were thinking of Jet Li. Not me. I said you.
So yes, Kyle was implying that. Fair. Yes, it was Kyle. Mm-hmm. Kyle just confirmed it was him.
Fair.
No.
Not me.
I was not implying that.
Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Me,
nope,
I'm
you're
nervous
done.
For my Brian, trivia how question. Are you That's doing how I'm tonight. Doing. nervous.
Nervous. Okay. I'm curious as to see why, and I can't wait to talk more about this.
Oh.
I have a feeling there are going to be some opinions. All right. Jackie Chan question for you as well. Jackie Chan is known for his prop-heavy action scenes. In which of these movies does Jackie Chan use the highest number of everyday objects as an improvised weapon? And this can be ladders, stools, chairs, etc. Which movie would have the highest number of improvised props? Is it A, Kung Fu Yoga, B, The Foreigner, C, Rush Hour 2, D, Jackie Chan's First Strike?
Ooh. All right. Well, I've only seen one of these movies, so I'm going to go with Rush Hour 2.
Ooh, it is a good choice. It is a good one. There are a lot of props. It is Jackie Chan's First Strike.
I was going to say it's First Strike.
Oh, shit. Well done, Kyle. Nice. All right, so we are talking about Police Story, which is one of Jackie Chan's maybe first breakthrough hits that came overseas from China. He obviously broke out in America much, much later with some, as Brian said, like the Rush Hour series was huge for Jackie Chan. And before that, the Rumble in the Bronx and a few other ones. But we're talking about Police Story, which is kind of the series slash franchise that made Jackie Chan a star, where they kind of understood the suicidal clown assignment, which is a name he's been given and is so appropriate.
Such a good name. It's so appropriate.
Talking about Police Story, have you guys... Are you familiar with Police Story? Have you seen it before? Have you even heard about it before I brought it up?
I did not know it existed until you picked it for this episode. So,
ooh. I can count the Jackie Chan movies I haven't seen on one hand. I've seen almost everything. So I've seen this multiple times.
I love that. All right, cool. And I am really curious. We have momentarily lost Sean, but we will get him back. I would be very curious as to see what he thought about this as well. If he had seen it before or not. But, this is Action Movie December, and in Action Movie December, we have kind of a different scale. We do the kick-ass-ometer, as it is. Mm-hmm. And before we get into that, I'll just do a brief rundown of the story, and then we'll hop into the kick-ass-ometer, break this down. Police Story follows Hong Kong cop Chen Ka-kui, or Kevin, if you're nasty. Kevin's his English name. Officer Chan is a dedicated and relentless detective, and he's tasked with bringing down the notorious crime boss, Chu Tao. Complicating matters is his newly assigned duty of also protecting this troublesome informant, Selena Fong. Will Officer Chan be able to protect Selena, bring down Chu Tao, and keep his relationship with Maggie Chung intact all in 1 hour and 40 minutes? Well, this is an action movie from the 80s, so yeah, he's going to do all of that. There you go. Spoiled it.
Boom.
That's Police Story. It's like a Jackie Chan movie, and this is kind of what he gets known for. The story is secondary or even tertiary to literally everything else, which we'll get into. But I do not have the spreadsheet open. What is the first category in the kick-ass-ometer?
Action.
Action. All right.
Action quality.
All right. And this is a 5 out of 5, if I remember correctly, right?
It is out of 5.
All right. Then I would like to hear, real quick before we start, I'm sorry. We just had Sean rejoin us. Sean.
What up?
Before we begin, have you seen Police Story before? Have you even heard of this movie?
Before we begin, have you learned your lesson about confusing
one Asian man with another Asian man.
Oh, goddamn.
We sent you to timeout. He's back now.
Again, it was
took
Kyle.
My Wi-Fi away.
Kyle.
I've never... I've definitely seen... I have 100% seen, like, bits and pieces of this because I've absolutely seen the mall scene from the end.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. So you're a little bit familiar with it. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
I watched a lot of Jackie Chan stuff when I was younger, and this is not going to make me sound any better, but it kind of all just blends together for me, especially having seen it at such an early age. But I just loved all the movies.
I don't think you're wrong. Honestly, that's how I remember a lot of Jackie Chan and then even Stephen Chow stuff. Again, because the story is not as important and the themes and whatever, they are all the same. It does kind of blend together. And you're like, oh, which one has this specific set piece? And that's really the only way you can distinguish. So you're not wrong. That said, I would love for you to start with the action quality, Sean, since you are familiar with Jackie Chan. How do you think this holds up to his other stuff?
Ooh, man. We shall see. I remember last week you saying that the scale wasn't going to be kind to Crank 2, and it worked out pretty okay. I don't know how the scale is going to work out with this movie, because a lot of the categories that are it's weighted higher in, I don't think really start to excel until some of his, not later movies, but like probably a couple movies later. Because the action quality in this, one of the things that Kyle pointed out to me in a prior Jackie Chan movie that we had done was a lot of the long cuts in the fight sequences and the way that they're shot to make them look really realistic and way more impressive. And unfortunately, for like a good 90% of the sequences in this movie, there's a lot of jumps. And so when you're really expecting like a really smooth, dope, kick-ass Jackie Chan movie with a lot of really awesome choreographed fights and stuff, to get something like this where it does... They are awesome fight scenes, but they are not those ones that you're really like, you're geared in, you're sat down, you're like really hyped to see them. You get like one of those at the mall at the end where it's a bit more prolonged, and it's tough because I don't even think that one was that great, but it's more than a back forth cut kind of thing. It's a prolonged like 9-hit combo before it cuts to another scene. You're like, ah, there we go. But I feel like the rest of the movie lets you down to the point where you get something kind of okay that gets you hype. So that is a very long-winded way of me saying this is a 2.5 for me.
Right for down action. The middle. Okay.
2.5. Completely. And Ryan, I actually want to send it to you.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I kind of agree with you on how the editing is. I'm not necessarily bothered by the editing, but I do think there are movies, especially later on, where I think they kind of get the editing and the pacing of the fight scenes down a lot better. And Police Story has always been like a big cult favorite for a lot of people. And it's admittedly a franchise I really like two of the movies, and I find like issues with both of them, and then like the other ones I think are like way rougher. So I'm not even like a diehard fan of Police Story, but I am a diehard fan of Jackie Chan, so this is where I'm going to fight for him a little bit. I do feel like in another action movie we fought like this person, like their dialogue and like the back and forth between the characters is the action, then I will say you're right. There's not a lot of like back and forth fist fights and whatever. And especially in a month where we're going to talk about a John Wick movie too. Like, I know we're going to get like fucking first class.
The verbal back and forth was the quips.
And we're not doing that here. That's not where I'm going. Okay. But just to say, like, we kind of been like what action is and like what could be considered action. Keep that in mind, because I do think what is here, like, there are things that aren't necessarily action that could count as action. And the phone scene, I think, is one of those scenes where it is just, it's the Charlie Chaplin, like, kind of physical stuntmanship. And, like, physical, he's not fighting anybody. It's, and is, you're not wrong, it is practical comedy. But I do think it goes above and beyond, because I do think the muscles and, like, the training to make that scene are not fucking far off from, like, any set piece in this movie. What Jackie Chan had to do to, like, kick and balance those phones and the string stuff was equally probably demanding as some of the stuff he had to do in, like, let's say, like, the street fight with the gang in the middle of the movie. I don't think it's any different. So I do think there is some action to it. And then there's the opening. We're not going to talk about the opening. I think the opening is just mind-blowing for everything they do. And I don't care how they cut it. There are not long cuts, you're right, Sean. But it is just the spectacle of what they are willing to blow up and shoot on film practically. The stunts. There are so many fucking stunts in this movie. And I know, I'm not even going to touch the final set piece because I know probably other people want to talk about that. I know Kyle knows, like, the backstory of, like, kind of what it took on Jackie Chan in that set piece at the end with, like, the big pole swing and everything. But I will just say, like, just even that opening set piece for me, like, watching that again, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. Just this alone, like, Michael Bay gets credit for, like, making cakey action movies. Bad Boys 2 just rips this scene fully, like, almost 30 years later, 20 years later. And it's effective, but, like, they did this 20 years before and, like, without CG, and it is just as fucking amazing. I think there's so much practical here that is just fucking jaw-dropping. I wish there was more. I think there are other Jackie Chan movies that get the pacing more. So I will knock it. It doesn't look like the 0.5s are doing much. I would give this a 4.5, but it looks like this is going to round up to a 5. So fuck it, I'll take the 5, but this would be a 4.5 for me.
Wow.
I'm now, God, with Sean starting off at the 2.5, now I don't know how everybody else is going to fall on this one. So I'm kind of curious to hear the other person who has not seen this before. Brian, what are your thoughts on the action quality?
I think he's pretty excellent. I have not seen a lot of Jackie Chan stuff. He's kind of a blind spot for me, other than outside of, like, the Rush Hour movies and some other stuff. So this was something that I've been meaning to get to, of course. And this is a great intro for, like, the stuff that's the non, you know, mainstream U.S. Jackie Chan movies. And just that opening sequence. At first, I'm like, I don't know what's happening here. There's a bunch of people shooting each other, whatever. We're not obeying any kind of camera rules about, like, the 180 rule, anything like that. We're jumping around everywhere. I can't tell who's the good guys, who's the bad guys. And then just cars start flying through buildings with stuntmen on top of them. And I'm like, these people are fucking nuts. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And from there on, I had a blast. I mean, it was just not, I mean, between the bus and all the different, I mean, doing absolutely insane things nonstop, and I was loving all of it. All these set pieces are so good and so entertaining. And I agree with Sean that sometimes the editing, the pacing is not quite what you expect in a fight scene. Just as a whole, for an action movie, I kind of wish there were a few more splodies. I could have used, like, at least one big explosion.
You'll love Police Story 2, then. It's all about explodies.
Now we're talking. But then that whole final sequence in the mall where, like, I felt like Babe Ruth for the first time in my life because, like, they're doing fights. And I'm like, oh, there's glass over there. Get it. It was so much fun. So I'm also giving this a 4.5. And Kyle, you can bring us home.
I will, to as we so often do, borrow liberally from our caped brethren. You guys like to throw the fucking in between names a lot. I'm going to modify that a bit here and go with goddamn Jackie Chan, man. Come the fuck on, boys. Jackie Chan royalty. Tom Cruise, eat your fucking heart out. Man's been doing it his whole career. Not fucking cashing in at the end when everybody's like, oh, look, he's doing it. Jackie Chan, I know, I'm just, let me fucking just rant here, okay? Come on. Fucking Jackie Chan here, keeping my goddamn energy before people want to fucking interrupt. All right, no, for real. I can't say enough fucking greatness about the man. I don't want to wax too poetic. For me, this is, it starts off with such a fucking bang. You talk about this intro, like, we do get cars driving down a hill and people are just standing next to it because it's China 1985. Fuck it, who cares? The little stunts. I love the one with the phone, of course, one that's kind of overlooked, but all the stuff he's doing with her moped when she's trying to flee during their fight, when he picks her up. If you watch at the end, my favorite thing about any Jackie Chan movie is the bloopers and all the stuff over the credits. And like at one point he pulls her and she just falls right on her ass on that. And it's just all the perfect tries and just the dedication. And again, this is fucking China, 1985. There is no CG. They are fucking doing this. Jackie's hanging off the side of a bus by an umbrella. What the fuck, man? It is insane. He jumps through like 1,000 plugged in electrical lights at the end and slides down this giant pole to land on a pagoda for really no need. And it's like one of the few stunts they filmed with like three different cameras. And they're like, oh, we're going to show you these three cameras.
We're going to show you every angle. We got this fucking shot.
It's great because like in that shot, like before he jumps, you see him. He like psychs himself up. He like stops for a second and goes, ah! And then just fucking does it.
It's just does insane. A bullet time all the way around it.
If they had it, they would have done it.
Yeah,
I would have watched it.
But yeah, it's goddamn Jackie Chan, boys. It's a five for me. It is a great intro, Brian, you said, because it's such a great baseline for as bombastic and boisterous as it is. Almost every film just goes up from here. Not so, they all have their different qualities and different aspects. Like, I've said it before, and I need to shut up and move on. But like, Legend of the Drunken Master, that's purely just fight scenes. There's not really like these big set pieces per se, but it's some of the best fight choreography I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. It's just, and I think he worked with the guy from The Matrix in those. Anyways, I'm shutting up. Five.
Very nice. Okay. Well, before we move on, Sean had something to say.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. I want to point out that when we did John Wick 1, that movie got dinged points for, and I quote, I know where this goes from here, and it's better than this. So
that's fair.
I do just want to point that out. But also on the flip side, I think Ryan talking about like the action comedy in this movie isn't something that I even thought of. And that in itself, and also that bus scene is enough to jump this up a point for me. And I got to say, if we talked about like the way this movie was shot, man, I would be glowing. Even though I talked about like the jump cuts and the fight scenes, I'd be glowing about this movie. I love the way this was shot.
This is why I'm kind of happy to slot this into Action Movie December, because I this is going to get dinged on a few categories for sure, but I felt like action quality is pretty good here. But as you said, it's the style, I think, that's a big issue. And luckily, we don't have to talk a lot about style in Action Movie December, because that's where it really needs to be improved. The style would help a lot with how a lot of the shit's shot. Speaking of categories that might not do so hot, we're going to talk about the antagonist next. And this is out of four. Kyle, you are so hot and passionate at the end of action quality. I want to hear your thoughts on the antagonist. Chu Tao. What'd he do for you?
As vague as they are about his age is as vague as I feel about this antagonist. He's just so goddamn bland. Who gives a fuck? He's not threatening. I never feel intimidated. He's an old Chinese man and not in like the Wu Ping style that could kick my ass. Just, I mean, I'm sure a real Chinese crime boss would just fucking murk me without even thinking about it. But I don't know. This guy's not intimidating. I'm just kind of torn. Like, he fits the bill. It gets the job done. So I don't know if it's a two or a one. And I made that a rhyme. So I'll figure it out in time, and I'm going with a two, staying down the middle. And I'm kicking it to my buddy Bri.
I am in agreement with you. This guy is, he's a corrupt Chinese businessman. And as far as villains go, meh. I will say he's very slippery. I mean, he avoids, he's got a pretty good lawyer, so he avoids getting in trouble for a bit of a while. I was actually impressed with the courtroom scene in the middle of the movie with the defense they use. I was like, oh, that's actually a solid defense. Like, they actually thought this out. But yeah, there's nothing like physically intimidating about him. Like, at no point are you like, oh man, if they get one-on-one, it's going to be a real slobber knocker, which is a word I use all the time. Yeah, it's a two for me, too. It's only that high because of how slippery this guy is and how good his defense is in that courtroom scene that he gets away and can continue to do these dastardly things. And with that, I want to hear from Sean.
You know, it's a lot of times recently we've had movies where, like, you think someone's a bad guy and you're like, oh, wow. That's a great bad guy. And then, oh, it's a different guy. Oh, that's a great bad guy. And then it gets to the end bad guy, and you're like, wow. Okay. You get that a lot in video games. You get that a lot in movies. Like, is it more egregious? So in those, you're introduced to the bad guy towards the end. Is it more egregious to have that exact same thing, but you know it's there the entire fucking movie? Like, the entire time, you know this guy's the big bad. In the entire time, you're like, all of them are more interesting than you. Mm-hmm. And I
There's
think
no cool
that
henchmen.
Is worse. And I'm going a one here.
I like it. It's justified.
I think his lawyer is a better bad guy than him. And that's him just following
100%.
The law.
100%.
God damn. That leaves you, Ryan.
Does antagonists include the henchmen as well? Would that include the lawyer?
I mean, they can if they're unique enough, but I don't think these guys, I mean,
I go off my interpretation of it, and it's from me, mm-hmm. It's like it's the bad guy, or if like the other, like in Die Hard, right? Like the other, some of the henchmen in that are like, I would put them
fucking Klaus
in this category because they're big enough and they're important enough. I don't think these guys are.
I maybe disagree slightly then in that case. I agree with almost everything you said, but I would put the lawyer up there as henchman or like an important part because they do make a point for Officer Chan to punch him later on and get like the one up on him and they bring him back. It's like a recurring thing. So I would say, like, he's maybe important, and if we're going to stretch it, and I love stretching shit with my words.
And his wiener. Listen to Patreon.
Or maybe no wiener.
Possibly.
Find out what that means.
Jesus Christ.
I do think part of the antagonism is the law in general. Which is, I think, kind of interesting since he is an officer of the law and then kind of disagrees with the law. And the law is like one of the biggest fucking thwarting forces here, represented by the lawyer, which is why I think it ties in. I honestly, Brian, everything you said is brilliant. I love that you brought up like that courtroom scene. I was like, this is surprisingly pretty good for a fluffy action comedy. Yeah. Like, this is actually, you thought about this a little bit. But that said, I'm right there with you. Like, nothing really special here either. It's two at best, and I feel generous. I I don't hate Sean for putting it at one. I think that's equally justified. I'm happy with both of those. Yeah.
I think we gave Crank's main villain a zero last week. So, like, I don't feel bad with this at all.
No, absolutely this not.
Is same territory.
Even the chief inspector at one point is like, if you're here, so I have to arrest you based on the evidence I have. So, like, he lets him kind of lets him kidnap him and take him away, which is another argument to be had that the law is one of the antagonists of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
You're onto something.
It's something. It's an idea.
You're onto something.
Something a little bit more substantial. Body count. So the body count here, this is going to be out of 3 points. I'd like to hear from Sean first this time.
Fuck, man. I was just about to... What is the kill count on this? Does anybody know? Was it four?
I think two.
I think it's like six.
Is it six? Okay.
Oh, I split the difference six. Between the two of you. I thought it was four. This is a fucking terrible body count.
I know for sure it's one. But after okay. that, I don't know.
Yes, there is at least one. And I'm starting to think that Chu Tao dies after that absolute punching bag fest to his stomach. That dude either shit his pants for a week or is dead or both.
He was late 40s to 50s. He's totally dead.
But that will... Ooh, even these, like the ones that died, because I do give some weight to like the importance and the heaviness of kills. These, anywhere from 1 to 6, is a zero. like... I don't know. The only one that even mattered was the dude that was getting like set up.
And Inspector Man.
Didn't really matter. So, Brian.
I'm not honestly far off from you. I just disagree. For me, a zero would be where literally no bodies happen. So it's a 0.5. But otherwise, yeah, I agree. Jackie Chan movies are never going to do well in the body count department.
No.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. I forgot about the 0.5. 0.5 is absolutely where this belongs.
Yeah.
There are, I can have official count. There are 7 kills in the movie.
Seven kills.
7.
Okay.
I imagine most of them are in
three
that
cops
first sequence,
in the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh,
Danny Coe shoots 2 cops. Tom kills 1 triad. And that's 6. And then Danny Coe kills Inspector Man.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank 7 you, total. Kyle. That was very informed. That means well I done. Should let you go next then.
Yeah, but I'm 100%. It's 0.5. It's very low. It's hard. We don't quantify anything, but I feel like you got to get 10 to break the 1. I feel it's maybe a hard rule, at least for me. So I'm 0.5 for sure.
Yeah. And I'm not going to argue with anybody.
Bri guy, right?
Yeah, I'm not arguing. 0.5. It's a 0.5 across the board because 0 would mean nobody dies and it's just not enough for it to warrant a 1. So 0.5.
Okay.
Sick.
Well, the next category is setting and theme. Ryan's taking a piss, so I'll hop into the co-host chair real quick for him and kick it off. Setting theme, what is this one also a 3-point
this
category,
also a 3.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So setting and theme, I guess, I mean... It's nothing except that it's weird if you want to give a credit for, I feel like they literally built a slum village on the side of a fucking mountain, which is cool. And I want to give credit to, I feel like it's 1985 China. I guess this is it. I don't know for sure.
Right.
But it seems fairly on point. So again, I guess I'll be pretty fairly on the middle. I'll give Police Story overall setting theme. I want to say 2. But man, the theme, I don't know. It does hit. It's some slick stuff, man. I'll go 2.5. I'll be generous. 2.5 on setting and theme. And I will kick it to Ryan.
I loved Sean's face at that reveal. I cannot wait to hear what his number is. I think I'm not maybe far off from Sean, though, here, because I also think 2.5 is a little high.
Maybe.
As Sean and I think I referenced earlier, like, sometimes these Jackie Chan movies blend together because the setting and theme are not super strong. It is the set pieces or, like, the things he uses in a fight that you kind of remember. Like, oh, he's running from a giant fucking hover tank or something. Like, that's what I remember. Not, oh, it's this complex story of how this gang wants this part of this territory.
There's courtroom drama in my action.
It's the softcore porn of action movies.
There's kind
of
not.
There's a dark comedy bit about answering police phone calls in the middle of the movie where I'm pretty sure a woman gets beaten to death.
And he also eats an eraser. Think about poor Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
He spits it out and then eats it again. And then chokes on it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so I like these movies. If we're even talking just like getting a cohesive theme, I don't even think they kind of fully get the tones down correctly here yet. They're flirting with it. They're getting close. This is more in like the Stephen Chow kind of wheelhouse. I think Jackie Chan starts to click in like a decade a bit more and understand like what he does. Officer Chan has always felt a little weird to me because he has some real dark places he goes. And I don't think Jackie Chan's equipped for it. And I think that can be just like spread out to the larger movie as a whole. I don't know where stunts go into this then. Probably action quality, so I don't really need to talk about that anymore. So yeah, I don't know. For just the setting theme, I think this is like, if I'm generous, a 1.5. That's if I'm generous. But I feel like I'm going to be generous elsewhere, so I'm not going to be generous. I'm going to give it a 1 because I do kind of think this is just like nondescript China in the 80s. It is everything else around the setting and theme. This is just like corrupt China in the 80s. There's no theme.
It's like
it's fine.
A
it's
warehouse.
Fine at best. I'm going to go with 1. And I'm kind of like, I'm doubting myself. So I do want to hear Sean because I think he's going to back me up.
Man, I think what can perfectly encapsulate this is every time they went to like the sergeant's office, the chief inspector's office, there's just a gigantic thing behind him that says Los Angeles on it. And so I got confused like 3 fucking times. I'm like, why is this strictly in Chinese, but it's set in Los Angeles? What is happening? And yeah, it's everything that Ryan said. I want to, when doing the title card for this, do like one of those YouTube ones where it's like 2.7 out of 10. What happened for this? Because it's like, man, this scale is not happy with this for a movie that I really enjoyed. It's a 1 for me. It's everything Ryan said. So when Kyle said 2.5, I was like, what? Just like off of what I was thinking the whole time. But Brian.
Me. I say, the interesting thing about this movie.
Point.
I'm going 4. No, apparently around this time, this is what I read. I don't know if it's true because I know this is an earlier Jackie Chan movie. Anytime Jackie Chan would sign on to do a project, all of the other productions in Hong Kong would follow suit. They'd be like, oh, for example, I know this came out way later, but like Drunken Master. Mm. When they did Drunken Master, they announced they were doing that. Everybody was like, oh, well, now we have to do a drunken boxing movie. And they would all come out around the same time and the market would be saturated. So for this one, they intentionally gave it a plain name, Police Story, so nobody would know what it was actually about, so they couldn't copy it. So that's what I'm going to say is the theme here. This is a police kung fu movie, which had rarely been done prior to this. So, not just nondescript 80s China, which I imagine does look like this, like Kyle said. I don't know. I don't have any references to the contrary. But the police theme, pretty unique, as far as I know. I don't know much, though. For that reason, I'm going to give it a whole ass 2.
Wow. Brian, you're telling me that even back in 1985, China was doing the whole, oh, I see you, SpongeBob SquarePants. Have you guys met SpongeBob, Sponge Robert SquarePantaloons?
I see you're friends with benefits, and I'm releasing a movie called No Strings Attached. I see you're illusionist. Have my prestige.
One of those is so much better.
So with funny. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, oh, shit.
Muscles.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting categories here. Muscles. This is out of two. Let's hear from Kyle.
It's with Jackie Chan does the thing that he does a lot where he just wears like a full jumpsuit. I know that he is cut and ripped. He has to be. But we don't goddamn see it. We see it briefly in the shower scene, which we'll also make a mention next, too. So I do have to give it something. But we don't get full on flexing. I have been generous. I guess I'm going to give a 0.5 for muscle. And kick it to Sean.
Bro, this movie had less muscles in it than Crank 2. And Crank 2 had zero muscles, except for Elfin or whatever his name was. What's his name? The one that played Venus.
Efren Ramirez.
Yes, Efren Ramirez. That was the one muscle I saw in that movie. This movie has less than that. Zero.
Yeah.
Reverse bonus point.
Negative one.
Give me points, please. Brian.
Yeah. Man, they're really not showing it off at all. And like Kyle said, he's got to be cut, right? I mean, like, he has to be based on all the stuff he's doing. And we do briefly see that shower scene, yes. But like, I want glistening in the sun, abdominals and flexing, and I don't know, maybe we've just been spoiled by the American action movie machine. Mm-hmm.
He was Austrian, dude.
But like, that's
true.
Yeah, but the movies were American.
Americans claiming another thing that's not theirs. Continue.
If Americans didn't claim things that weren't theirs, we wouldn't have America.
Mm-hmm. He became a governor. Like, that's... He became
all right, hold on a second. I'm going to take that quote for myself. All
right. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Continue.
Man, I wanted to give this something because, like, the stunts and, like, the actually doing the things and, like, he's holding onto the back of a fucking bus by an umbrella. Like, he's using his muscles. But they're not... That's all part of action quality, though. He's not actually showing the muscles, which is what this category is for. So I'm with Kyle. It's a 0.5 for me. And tell us
get
why we're
me
wrong,
to
Ryan.
The muscles.
I can't tell you why you're wrong, because every opinion is a beautiful snowflake, and I love them all equally.
Okay.
I dislike you so
that
much.
Said to,
that said.
To do the Sean card earlier, if we go back to previous action movie Decembers, John Wick got a one from all of us, and there is not a single buff body in that movie at all. It was all attributed to muscle memory of learning the guns and all of this. And you're not going to tell me the muscle memory it takes to do that fucking phone scene or any of the stunts in this movie that Jackie Chan does? This is a one. If John Wick gets a one, this gets a one.
But John Wick is actual muscle memory.
I remembered stuff from episodes a year ago. I don't remember the
muscle
shit from last week.
Muscle memory is the phone stuff. Kicking and bouncing that stuff. Do you know how many takes he probably had to do for that stuff?
In that case, that he just stands around as his character, hacky-sacking a phone. I don't think that's muscle memory. That's just being fucking talented.
I think that's a lot of training and stuff we don't see off camera. I think Jackie Chan is one of these people who will do something for a scene thousands of times off camera, and you never ever see it. And
sure,
I think,
but how much of that is Jackie Chan, and how much of that is the character?
Yeah, and that's why I think the distinction was
it's Jackie Chan. So it's the muscle memory. Well, all right, so if we're talking the character, are we saying that we gave ones to John Wick because John Wick had muscle memory? Because that's fucking dumb. Yeah,
I think that was
because
the
that's even dumber. Yeah. No. It goes to Keanu Reeves.
He's a world class assassin.
Because
Ryan.
Then, like any John Claude Van Damme movie
like
where he was like, I was
Ryan,
implanted with muscle memories, but like you never ever see it, and he just shows up to set and then does like a flip. You're like, okay, well the script said he had muscle memory, so. 1 point for
but
that.
But they give justification for
Keanu
that.
Keanu Reeves
movie.
Did the work. That's why he gets the one. Jackie Chan did the work. He also gets the
I
one.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's a great justification. I 100% agree.
It has nothing to do with the character. Because if I'll put on a Steven Seagal movie.
The thing that gives the
where
payoff.
It's all
so
lip
John
service.
John Wick being good with guns makes Keanu Reeves' muscle memory that much more impressive. Jackie Chan being able to hacky sack a phone. Does not impress me in a movie. It was a cool
scene.
Oh,
I disagree.
It does not impress me.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine.
That
you say where you are. It impresses me.
I'm just justifying.
I think that is more impressive than any fucking scene in most Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Jackie Chan fucking hacky sacking a phone around.
I still thought you were going on John Wick. And
way
I was like,
more
well.
Fucking interesting than any JCPD scene.
I'm not arguing with you there. But that dude's about showing off his butt cheeks.
No. I like your justification.
Yeah, he gets
one,
in
Ryan.
Full nude marks. That's true. JCVD earns them butt cheeks.
Booty clips.
Sometimes.
Usually.
All right.
I respect your justification, though.
That said, I think we're going to go into another dipper here. Butts. Let's talk about the butts in Police Story. Sean, I think you should just kick us off with this one. I think you're just going to lead us here.
You said it's going to be a big dipper? We got no dipper here. This is a zero from me. Ryan.
Agreed. Yeah, zero butts, zero nudity, none of that. No P, no V, no T, no Zs or Gs. None of it.
No Gs?
No Gs. None of them.
China? You say so.
It's no G's in UTs.
If you have to ask, you don't need to know. Brian, what are your thoughts on the butts?
I'm going 0.5 for Jackie Chan's ass as he gets in the shower.
Fair.
I'm same, but I'm giving it a full one for that because it was a full-on butt, fellas. I can't not give it a point.
Ryan, Kyle sees a cheek, gives a cheek.
Mm-hmm. He's the cheek. It's 0.5 for each
see
cheek.
See a cheek, give a cheek.
That's fair. I think that's very fair. If I bumped up to a 0.5, would that do anything? Because I would bump up to a 0.5. That's good justification. There is a but.
Don't
I just
know
forgot
that
about
does
it.
Anything, but yeah.
Okay, I'll go up to a 0.5. I'll give him peer pressure.
2.5 for the
even that is
butt
still
going
to
average.
If it bumped it up at all, I was going back to a zero.
Oh, it didn't change it. Put me back at zero. It's the principle.
All right. Let's see. I don't have high hopes, but does the music fare any better? Sean.
Okay. Dudes, I had high hopes for this early on where it just had like a
guitar,
like I was enjoying the shit out of that, and then about halfway through the movie it started going into like loops, like a 3-second sample loop over and over again, and that would go on for minutes, and then it would like go to some weird synth thing. This shit was all over the place. And on what is this out of? I will actually give this a one because I had, like, I should actually give this movie an extra bonus point in action for the action I was getting from this music. This was crazy. One, and I'm going to send it to Brian.
That's me. I agree that I was very jazzed at the beginning for that guitar riff. I was like, all right, we're going to do something cool with the music here. And then a few minutes later, I was like, is there still music in this movie? I forget all of that. And it wasn't until the credits started rolling and I heard the soothing sound of Jackie Chan singing to me Hero Story that I was like, oh, here we go. And that credits alone is going to bump me to a one. And let's hear from Kyle.
I found the soundtrack, I guess, a lot more memorable than you guys, even though I'm at the same score as you. The one thing I didn't know is that I didn't know if it was a sample, but when they started bringing in the orchestra for like a lot of the bigger sound pieces, it sounded like such shit, the recording they had on. It was all crackly and just garbagey. And I didn't think that they had just gone into like a classical music archive until Sean brought up the sample. And I was like, oh, wait, they might have just grabbed like some generic symphony samples from somewhere and cut that in, because it was really rough sounding. But all that to say, I'm also at a one, because it was enjoyable. It set the mood a lot of the time, I thought. So
the way you just described Ryan? That made me think of like every time in this movie that I noticed that the camera was out of focus, which was so much in this movie. But just hearing you talk about the symphony music like that,
Jackie Chan's too busy practicing the stunt to adjust this.
Yeah. This ain't Hollywood, and he's got like four other movies to make that year. Come on, what are we doing here?
We don't have time to focus cameras. We got to get this shit in the can.
That whole court scene was out of focus.
Do they actually wearing the powdered wigs in China in the 80s during
court proceedings?
Because like I couldn't tell if they were trying to be funny or if it was legitimate.
It's British. I mean, a lot of that colonization.
Yeah,
because I know they did that. They still do it. Like in Canada, they literally still do it. They still wear the fucking wigs in their Canadian courts.
How are you supposed to stand trial and keep a straight face?
Yeah, you're fucking embarrassing.
They still do it in the UK. Like literally, if you're a lawyer, of course you wear the fucking wig in the UK today.
Nerds.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
But I think that was very common during the colon, because this was also Hong Kong, right? And this was in the 80s. Yeah. I believe Britain still had control, because that's like the whole plot point of Rush Hour 1 or 2 is Britain giving back control to China.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's like the whole big meeting is during that. So
you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot about China politics from action movies.
Dude, you're learning
Diplomatic community.
There you have it, folks. Carl from Texas here. I didn't want to learn nothing.
Oh, shit.
Carl from Texas here. I got some thoughts on China.
Oh. You said it wrong. It's pronounced China.
Ooh.
I kind of agree with everybody. I also feel like everybody's high on this one. I'm giving it like a 0.5, mostly for the Jackie Chan kind of outtake song. Otherwise, yeah. I thought the riff, the bow, 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 just
I love that guitar kind riff.
Yeah, but that's it. Get used that's to that just over and over and over and over again. There's no variations. It's, I don't know. I didn't love the theme here, and I found the theme to be a bit simple. This is a 0.5 is fine.
I guess we're on the same page. I just gave a bigger bump to Jackie Chan's credit song.
That's fair.
This was like a bad movie that you find entertaining, but for music for me, like it was bad. It was bad. But every time I opened my ears, I was like, "What the fuck is happening here?" Yeah. It would make me laugh.
I wish I would have had as much fun with the music, but sadly, I did not. Maybe the quips were a bit better.
The quips.
Bri Guy, what did you think about the quips in Police Story?
I'm going to be honest here. This is out of 1 point, right?
Uh-huh.
It takes quite a bit when you're reading subtitles to actually, you know, laugh out loud at something, because you're reading a punchline instead of actually hearing it with the delivery and everything. Several times I actually laughed out loud at this movie, and I was like, that was actually really good. So for that reason, are they quotable? Do I remember a lot of them? No, but I definitely chortled to myself while watching this movie on multiple occasions. So I am going to give it a 0.5 for the quips. And I would love to hear from Ryan.
Man, I was honestly going with a 0 before you started talking. And then I was hoping to hear anybody else's kind of viewpoint to gauge. I don't remember a lot of the quips, to be honest. And I it's a lot of like kind of the set sight gags that I remember more so than any quips. And if we are confining quips to like the verbal realm, like the one-liners as we typically know it for action movies, I don't know that this does it well. But is it just doing something different and we should shift our minds, and maybe this is a 0.5? It's not like maybe hitting it out the park and there's room for improvement. I don't know. I really wish I wasn't too, but what else is coming up? Let me see. I'll go hard if there's other things I think are going to get points.
There's only one category left, and that's story.
Shit. 0. I'm going to give it a 0, just because I do... This is maybe my limited viewing, but I do think this veers more into the verbal side. If this was more open to just, like, gags and jokes in general, then I think there's something here, because there's a lot of really clever sight gags. I love when he shoots the gun and then everybody, the bus slams to a stop and you see the people falling out. Like, there's like really clever sight gags, but it's not a quip. So I'm at a 0. Kyle, talk some sense into me. Tell me why I'm wrong. Well,
Brian talked me up and then you talked me back down.
Oh, no.
I'm also at a 0. Yeah. So,
hey, don't be a cop if really you want to live to 100. Oh, we should put that on the recruitment poster.
It's pretty good. Okay.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So are you back up to a 0.5? Look at that. That's a verbal.
That's just a back and forth comedy routine.
That's what quips are.
No, the put that on the recruitment poster is a quip.
I don't know. I'm sticking with it. This was just well-timed comedy written into a script. Like they don't feel character quippy. It just feels like comedy. 0.
Oh shit! Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I missed Kyle's answer. Kyle was also at a 0. You stayed at a 0. Yep. Okay.
Uh huh.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves story. Sean. Mm-hmm.
One. It's one or nothing. And it's very, I think Crank is the only one that I've ever given it. Crank 2 is the only one I ever gave a 0 to. And I'm back up to a 1. This has a story. This has a, yeah, I'm here for it. Kyle.
Yeah, also a 1. This has a great story, easy to follow. I mean, a little basic, but it's written in China in 1985 as an action movie. Great, 1. Brian?
Yeah, I mean, you got police corruption. You've got all the stuff. You've got star witnesses. You've got corrupt business people. It's all there. It's a 1. It's a story.
Court drama.
Ryan?
Agreed. It's enough to connect you from scene to scene, and that's all you really need in an action movie. It's not batshit bad where it's notable and you're like, what is happening? It's fine. It's fine enough, and that gets the 1 for story. Yep. 1.
I misspelled bonus on my sheet.
How?
Bonus!
Bonus?
Bonus.
I wrote bonus.
Give this sweet bonus.
So that does leave the dope weapon bonus. Yeah. Does anybody have?
Hell yeah.
Kyle?
The one I nominate is at the end of the fight. They consistently use and toss back and forth the briefcase. I really like that, and it was unique, and some of the ways that they use it, and kind of as a distraction. I liked it, so I nominate the briefcase for a point one, or a plus one.
I also have a nomination. It's very briefly used, but it is used. It's one of those rolling clothing racks that he uses to beat the shit out of somebody with. It was fantastic.
I like that.
The rolling hanger. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, I would give a point one. I would give a plus one for one of those. I think it's in a movie like this, if you can find really, really something interesting and dope to beat the shit out of someone, that's a mm-hmm. plus one for me.
Sometimes you just gotta stick somebody on the front of a motorcycle and send them through some glass cases.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it gets a blanket plus one for a bonus point.
Boom.
Man, looking at this, it is quite hard for an action movie to get like a really high antagonist score. Like top of the top antagonist, whereas everything else seems pretty easy if you're the right movie.
I mean, I think
butts and muscles are pretty rough.
Yeah,
you have to go pretty hard on muscles. A specific actor when it comes to muscles, and then even then,
you still got to show more
often than not. Yeah, those fucking sons of bitches, show us your guns. What are you doing?
We got to see them. We got to see them. Yeah, spend all that time in the gym. Let me see them pecs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what little body swells.
What's that give us, Brian? I'm fascinated.
The police story fared okay on the kick-ass-ometer, but not as good as I would have suspected. We gave it a 12 and a half total, which ends up being like a 54.
Damn.
Huh. That did pretty low. Way better than I thought that it was going to be.
Honestly, did way worse than I expected. But
yeah, same.
Off of all those zeros? Yeah.
This is about where I expected it to perform on the kick-ass-ometer. This is not an accurate representation of what I feel about this movie, though.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yep, same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time, I think, for me, where it's like, it's very far off from how I felt.
Notably,
like,
I
don't think that this is a very 5 out of 10 movie at all. Mm-mm. I'd give this, like, personally 7.5 or 8.
Yeah.
Probably an 8. Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, and same. So are...
It's in the 6.7.
Folks.
6.7 for me. Oh, I did the meme.
You did the thing. Your 7.58 is not far off from critics and people who rate movies on the internet, because this thing has a 93% critical score on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. And an 88 audience score. It's very high.
Dang.
Wow. On IMDb, it's a 7.5 out of 10. On Metacritic, it's a 78. And on Letterboxd, it's a 4, which is, you know, an 80. So,
excuse me.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
so. About right on my aggregates.
Yeah, highly regarded.
Wow. Yeah, I was surprised to see it that high on Rotten Tomatoes. They should go back and re-review them.
Yeah, it must lower have been at the time bit. Or back when, like, the only people who could see this were the ones who were importing it from China itself on, like, region locked DVD player and watching it. Right. It's like, and all right, so we're already cutting like the...
You already have confirmation bias in the works.
Yeah, where are we?
Yeah.
I don't care. Anyway,
I want to meet this person in 1985 that had a region locked DVD player, though.
You go to the comic book store, they're there.
Oh, yeah.
In 1985? Really?
I don't know about 85, but I knew this person in 95. The 95 version of this.
they might have had a refund.
How many of I've these got this, are there?
NC-17 rated anime, and you see some really graphic sex shit, little kid. Oh, cool. All right, can I just get my video game and leave? I'm trying to media play as quick as possible, sir.
You don't want my bootleg VHS player that inserts porn scenes into every movie?
Dude, automatically?
Does that exist? Automatically.
No, I don't think that exists. But... We might have just invented something.
Slices that shit in real time.
Dude, the Durden 3000 VHS.
Oh my god. Ryan, I am so glad that you didn't go with your original plan for this week. And I want to thank you so much.
I don't know that the audience was familiar with this plan, but it was going to be Avatar 2 The Way of Water, because on a whim, I finally decided to watch it the weekend I was deciding my pick, and ended up kind of being fucking blown away by it. And it's a surprisingly good action movie. The literal first hour is a giant fucking action scene, which is kind of cool.
Wow. As somebody who didn't have time to watch this movie until 11 o'clock last night, I'm glad you didn't pick a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, I would not have been able to watch Avatar.
No. Yeah, because you watch it literally after work before the podcast records, and I don't think you could physically watch the movie in that time.
I typically would have been able to do that, but today I would have gotten home and been like, not making it, boys.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been able to watch it. But man, yeah, the first hours in action scene, my concern is the following 2.5 hours, which is twice as long as a movie as I want to watch anyways, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, but whose week is it next week? Since everything kind of switched up.
So next week, we will have Phil. Our good buddy Phil, shouts out, had a little bit of a personal matter he was attending to last week. So we did shuffle the schedule a little bit, but he will be joining us for our recording. And I do, boys, know his Van Damme movie choice.
Ooh.
And, you know, for you, the day that Phil came onto the podcast was the most brutal and vicious day of your entire lives. Uh-oh. For him, it was a Friday. And he's bringing Street Fighter.
All right.
Yo.
So
dope. That's a fun one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Street
Hell
Fighter.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
That's what we're getting into for action movie next week, everybody. So join us and Sean, pump him up on the Patreon with that Jackie Chan impression.
No, I already did that, so I don't have to do that again. But if you guys are at all interested about Ryan's Jackie Chan impression, our thoughts on Grease, if nipples are cross-eyed, and what Ryan would do to his own parts of his own body.
Can't believe I talked about that for so long.
And yeah.
Check it out on Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind. That will be so up this Friday. Little as a dollar, you get all of the other episodes as well for free. But also for like $9,000, Ryan will mail you some jerky. You're going to have to find out what that means on the Patreon. Linktree/experiencegrind. You can find the Discord there where Ryan's running some bracketology things. And there's all sorts of other stuff going on there. So them be
all
the links.
All chips got robbed.
Yo, this chip bracket is one quarter of it offends me to an ungodly level. But
dude,
the other
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. The other three quarters, I'm like, give me a bag of that and a bag of that and a bag of that. But Ryan, take us out, man.
Well, you lovely, lovely listeners, why don't you go chan yourselves? That's best. I'm not happy with it either. You can end with me saying I'm not happy with it. The listeners know that. It's fine.
I'm not happy with
it. Delilah.
And scene.
I don't know. There was something about the smooth, silky voice you're using there. Like, the listeners can know that. Just brought me back.